Beloved, last week we were with Jesus and Nicodemus at night, and Jesus was talking about how just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that bronze snake, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The people in Moses' day looked on that serpent and they were healed from the snake bites. We look on our Lord and Savior. We look on his sufferings. And by faith, right, I guess I should say by God's grace through faith, we are saved. Today we're looking a little bit later in John's Gospel. We're in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. This comes shortly after Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, who had been 4 days in the tomb, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus got up, had his grave clothes on, and he walked out of the tomb. And everybody who was there, everybody who was mourning, saw it and were absolutely amazed at what they saw. And more people wanted to see Jesus. And more people who were, I guess maybe we could say jealous, or wanted to hold on to their power that they had, wanted to kill Jesus at that point. So Jesus kind of went to lay low for a while. But he made his way to Jerusalem because there was something there that he had to accomplish. And we're going to be looking at the story a little bit out of order. The triumphal entry happens and then the story that we're looking at today. But what happens next is a group of Greeks. We're looking at verse 20 here. Greeks, when we see it in our scriptures, just means Gentiles, non-Jews. It's just another way that the Jews would have talked about it. So now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They're going for Passover. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And here it is, the world, people outside of the nation of Israel, they've heard about what Jesus is doing, and they want to be a part of it. Just like the people all around Israel and Judah have said, "Hey, what's going on? This guy is healing people. This guy is casting out demons. This guy is forgiving sins. He's speaking with authority that we've never heard from our leaders before. Something is happening here." And people like Peter were starting to say, "You're the Messiah. You're God's chosen one." And so many people were getting on this bandwagon. And it was good. And the Gentiles saw it. And they said, "We want to see Jesus." So Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. And Jesus didn't reply, "Great, send them over. I want to talk to them." Instead, Jesus recognized that this was a turning point, that this was a moment where something was about to happen. And he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The Spirit of God is getting ready to break out, not just among the people of Israel, but through the whole world. And you know what? me standing here in the flesh, Jesus, right, incarnate, I'm just one man, and frankly, it's not enough. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus recognizes that he is a seed, that he's looking forward, and he knows that he is called to be lifted up, that many would be healed, that many would be saved. But more than that, he recognizes that if his kernel dies and is planted in the ground, many seeds will come from it. Beloved, if you have put your trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you too are a seed. His seed died that more might grow and more might come. And Jesus says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is Jesus doing his love-hate thing again, right? We remember Jesus talking about, if anyone doesn't hate their father and mother and follow me, right? We're always like, Jesus, that seems so harsh. What do you mean? Right? He's not saying you need to like literally despise your life and hate it. What he's saying is that you need to recognize that there is something that is so much more that you need to give 100% of your life in order to gain that one thing. What he's saying is that there is a pearl of great price that you ought to sell everything that you have in order to purchase. What he's saying is that he's going to lose his life, and you need to lose yours too. He's going to lose his literally on the cross. But all of us need to put everything on the altar. Whoever serves me must follow me. He knows where he's going. As we, during Lent, wander for 40 days with Jesus in the wilderness, we know where he's going. He's going to the cross. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. There were many believers who followed Jesus to that same fate after he ascended into heaven. There were many who were killed by wild animals in Roman arenas and stadiums. He's not asking everybody to suffer that fate. But he knows that we need to put everything on the altar. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Our translation misses something here. The Greek word there, my soul is troubled, is the same exact Greek word that Jesus used when he talked about anyone loving their life, that life. That's all psuche. My life, my soul. If anyone who loves their soul, their psuche, will lose it. Well, anyone who hates their psuche in this world will keep it. And he said, now my psuche is troubled. And what shall I say? He knows what's coming, and it's not easy for him. We know what's coming. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's so stressed out and he's so distraught, knowing that he is going to willingly walk into torture, that he sweats drops of blood as he prays, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup be passed from me. Yet, not my will, but your will be done." And when Jesus says we need to follow him, and that anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life, what he's saying is we need to, just as he did in that situation, put our own desires, our own instincts and inclinations on the altar in order to do the will of the Father. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Oh, we love to pray prayers that say, "Lord, may this cup be passed from me." And there's nothing wrong with praying those prayers. Jesus prayed that prayer because he earnestly felt it. We ought to pray those prayers. But there needs to be a prayer above it. And I think often when we wonder, why isn't God answering my prayer? It's because we've prayed another prayer. And I hope we were sincere when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Not my will, but thy will be done. "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. It was in this suffering, it was in the midst of the depths, it was in the midst of the pain and the anguish that God glorified his name, that God planted his seed, that more seeds would come, that his name was glorified. "Father," he prays, "glorify your name." That was his real and true prayer. And then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not for mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." The prince of this world will not be driven out by the power of the sword. The prince of this world will not be driven out by armies and by might. The prince of this world will be driven out by the Son of Man lifted up. "And when I am lifted up from the earth," he said, "I will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Beloved, our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers, the principalities. It's against the devil, his minions. It's against all of the lies that have been told since the beginning, that have wormed their way into our hearts, that have told us, "I deserve this and I deserve that," that have told us, "I'm right about this," and well up the pride within us. The way to fight the devil is by going to the altar and putting everything there. And so, beloved, as I pray, I invite you, come to the altar if you're able. If there's too many people up here, kneel at your pew. If you don't have that mobility, kneel at the altar right in your heart. But beloved, if a seed dies, it produces many seeds. I want to be fruitful for my Lord. I want you to be fruitful for your Lord. I know we have prayed these prayers before, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with praying them again. Paul said, I die daily. Let's die today. Let's put everything that we have on the altar, that the Father might be glorified. Let's pray. Come to the altar, kneel and pray. Do as you will. Oh, Lord Jesus, sometimes we forget that you are human like us, fully human, fully God. Sometimes we forget that you are thinking about us. When you went willingly to the cross, like a lamb to the slaughter. Lord Jesus, sometimes we forget that at your word we were formed. That your love for us is deeper than the love anybody else ever had for us. Lord, we confess that we've been deceived and led astray. And sometimes we haven't. We've just gone after our own pleasures and our own heart's desires. Lord, we've confessed that sometimes we've been lazy. And when you have asked us to do something, we have justified our way out of it. Have mercy on us, Lord. Lord, we don't need riches. We don't need fame. We don't need anything this world has to offer, Lord. We need you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would receive our offering. Lord, we are amazed that you accept
us, broken vessels, earthen vessels, to do your will. And Lord, we are overjoyed and thrilled that you would use us, O King of heaven and earth, to accomplish your purposes. But Lord, we want to bear fruit. Help us, Lord, as we fall to the earth and die. Help us as we offer everything that we have, Lord, to you. That there would be fruit, that there would be many seeds, that the harvest, Lord, would be greater than anything we could imagine. We know that is your heart and your desire, that all people would be drawn to you. Lord, help us to show the people around us, to reflect, Lord, in our own lives, you lifted up on that cross. Lord, bless your people. Strengthen them. Empower them. Fill them, Lord, with your Spirit. Lord, we can't do anything for your glory by ourselves. But Lord, with your word, with your Spirit, who can stand against us? And so, Lord, we pray. Not my will, not our will be done, Lord, but yours. Amen.
If you stand with me, please. Got the thing in the wrong place here. Page 190.
May the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that you may stand before him with joy at his coming. Go now in peace and be blessed.